Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hey, thanks for that. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton. I'll be your host today on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. And today I'm joined by Grammy-nominated, Dove Award-winning artist Danny Gokey. You may remember him as a finalist on season 9 of American Idol, where his powerful voice and personal story captured everyone's attention. If you never heard his story, it's going to move you. Since then, he's built an incredible career spanning country and contemporary Christian music with multiple chart-topping hits like Hope in Front of Me and Haven't Seen It Yet. Danny's also a devoted husband, father of four, and founder of a nonprofit dedicated to helping families in need. Danny, my friend, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for joining me.
Good to be here, Zach. Hey, everybody.
Danny, as we start out, we're here in Garland, Texas, the Curtis Colwell Center. Going to be nearly 4,000 women here tonight gathering to worship God and grow in community with one another. As you prepare for nights like this, how do you really center your heart and just make sure that you're also ready to receive what God has prepared for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's the thing where we as a band, we pray, you know, we center focus on what our mission is. But one of the things I've learned through the years is just be in step with the Spirit. If you're in step with the Spirit, you'll never be outside of trying to catch up to what God's doing, you know? And so, the Bible says walk in the Spirit, and that's one of the key things, because every moment is a moment of ministry, even before I go step on stage. It's ministry to people all around us. But I always had this view when I was younger, I got to get myself ready, got to get myself ready. And I carried that for a long time. I grew up very religious backgrounds. And I think I started realizing, this is a thing where it's a relational thing 24/7, you know, where it's a walk in the Spirit. It's almost like if the work's already been done because of the cross, and now I'm just already there, and it's a constant acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's one of the things. So it's one of the things that I've learned throughout the years is just stay in step with the Spirit, and you'll be ready, you know, at all times.
And it's not something that you have to earn, right? It's not something you have to work for, because like you said, it's not what you do or don't do. It's what's already been done at the cross.
And I remember it was Andrew Womack who got me. He's a well-known preacher, but he said he used to go do these conferences. And he said one time, this is years ago, he said he knew this one pastor that would go into this room after he's preaching. He would, you know, go into the room and just watch like horror films all night long. Wow. And then like a couple hours before service, the guy would just be praying heaven down in his room. And he was like, man, he kind of made himself feel like, well, maybe I need to be doing that, praying heaven down. And then he just realized, like, listen, if you just stay in step with the Spirit, you know, you don't disconnect from God once you're done doing the quote-unquote ministry event. You stay in step with Him. You don't have to sit there and try to, I got to feel like I got to get back in God's presence. I got to get back into this zone. He's like, it's a lifestyle. You live it out. That analogy always stuck out with me. You know, he goes, I'm not quoting him perfectly, but I remember him just saying, like, no wonder why the guy was praying heaven down, because what he put in his spirit all night, you know, probably got him kind of out of the spirit. And so he had to get himself, you know, stir up, sing, pray in tongues, all these different things to get him back in the realm of the Spirit. And he said, I think it's just easier staying in the Spirit.
Stay in the Spirit. Stay in step with them. Talk to me then about, for those that are pursuing hope, for those that are pursuing the righteous side of things, because I see the divide too. I think everybody sees the divisiveness across culture where it's like, goodness gracious, one side is 100%, it feels like pursuing God and doing these things. The other side, like you said, is living in anger, living against the flow that God is, I think, trying to produce within our land, within our nation, within our globe. And so for those that are pursuing this, talk about a word of courage here for a moment. Billy Graham said that when a brave man or woman takes a stand, it's amazing what often happens. The spines of others often get stiffened. Ooh. Speak to that idea of courage for us as believers in this point in time.
Yeah, courage is so important. Because courage is how, you know, people actually get up to face the battles that are on the doorsteps of our homes, right? Mm-hmm. Having the courage. You know, I've heard of this phrase of there's peacemakers and there's peace fakers. Mm. And there's peace takers. So there's people who take peace, but there's people who fake peace. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of times we think just, you know, faking peace will give us peace, but it ultimately takes peace. And it ultimately, you give something up that will end up, you know, not getting the results that you expected. And so courageousness is huge. What does the Bible say? That part of the people, well, I'm getting pretty dark here on this podcast. Let me just, but I'm here. Maybe I'll get happier after this. but I think about Revelation, where one of the people that says that won't make heaven are cowards. Mm. And what does a coward do? A coward backs down, is fearful, right? And, you know, maybe a lot of times there have been times where we've been cowardice or we've been fearful, but that's not the end of the story. We could choose today to be, we do need people to stand up and be courageous.
Yes.
To be courageous. Jesus was courageous.
Yes, he was.
Right? And because Jesus, he did things opposite of what the culture wanted him to do. Mm. But yet that's how people found hope. Mm. You know, so I think being courageous is where you'll find hope. Being cowardice is you'll stay in more fearfulness. And so there's the people who are probably listening right now, and it's just like that courageousness, I think, brings hope because you confront the things that steal hope. And I think it's so important that we keep, that we protect hope, we protect love, we protect what God is doing inside of us. And many times it'll be courageous because the culture and the status quo is going to want to mock you, going to want to push you down, and it's going to want to say that you're believing a false hope. And so, no, we got to be courageous in what we believe.
I've heard it said that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the realization that there's something more important than your fear pushing us to do it in spite of that very thing. And so, and you just think about as you reflect on the different days that we just remember back and we reflect on all that God did for us, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, right? That he literally in a substitutionary death on a Roman rugged cross, he bore our sins and our shame. So that way we might have eternal life once he rose again, defeating sin and defeating death. So that way we can live in eternity with him. Like, there's something courageous about that, because even when he was in, and this is where my mind goes, on that Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, when he was in the upper room with his disciples, and, you know, it was the day that he knew he was going to die tomorrow. Like, he knew everything he was about to face for us. But yet, what did he do? He grabbed a basin, ties a towel around his waist, and he just begins to wash the feet of his brothers. Even the one that was going to betray him just a few hours later in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm just thinking about what he says. You talk about peace. In John 16, 33, he says, I have told you, I have shared all of these things with you so that in me you might have peace. Yeah. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart or have courage, for I have overcome the world. And then he goes and models that in the garden, right? When he's saying, you know what? God, if there's anything that you could do, could you remove this cup from me, right? If there's any other chance, any other choice, but yet not my will, but yours be done. And I believe the reason why is because even though there was fear, Danny, he saw us more important than that very thing. As we talk about courage, you know, courage is not absent of challenge. And you're somebody that is no stranger to suffering. We kind of alluded to this idea of American Idol 2009 when that season was released. You were going through a lot during that time. I'd like to quick, just the rewind button for a moment. Take us back there, Danny. Help our audience understand a little bit more of your story.
Yeah, so I was a worship leader, and I drove a semi-truck. I worked for two churches. Since I worked so much, my first wife, Sophia, she'd watch American Idol all the time. And I finally got DVR. That's when DVR first came out. This is back in 2008. I watched that season. And then it encouraged me to go try out for it. I was just so excited to try out. And then she passes away a month before. Wow. And my life is completely rocked. But also, I keep my promise to her to try out for the show. Mm. And the rest is history. I took third place. But it wasn't easy. I'll tell you that. People think, like, I don't know what people think about it, but losing someone close to you like that, especially being married, you're one, the Bible says, it felt like I had an amputation of a limb.
Yeah.
My soul, half of my soul was amputated. And so I had to get up and be courageous. And I had a pastor in my life that really pushed me, and some people like, just keep going, because I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had another year. I wish I could. I was thinking in my head, can I take another year off and then go? Mm-hmm. But that was the last year I could try out. I would have aged out that following year. So I went and did it. And God really brought hope through a very difficult time. Did it heal every wound? No, because you can't ignore your way through success into healing. Yeah. You still got to deal with it, but I didn't know any better. Yeah. And so some of those wounds just kind of sat within me, but it did bring hope and it brought a bigger view. And I think maybe that's one thing I encourage people with is if they're in a really dark place to, a lot of times we want to retreat. We want to go hide. We want to wait until something inside of us feels better. It doesn't work that way. You know, I heard a quote, and I'll probably butcher it right now, but life is all about choices, and the choices you make make you. Yeah. I had to just keep making the right choices when it felt like all the wrong things were happening. You know, because in my mind, I prayed God didn't answer the way I thought he should have answered, so that was a disappointment.
Yeah.
You know? But thank God he helped me make good choices. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how much our choices impact us, even when we don't realize we're making choices. Mm. And I would say that's a bulk of what a lot of younger people go through, is they don't even realize some of the choices they're not making are choices. And it's affecting their future, and it's affecting their mental health, and it's affecting. So thank God I had people to push me forward, and here I am. I have a music career. Thanks be to God.
It's amazing. You know, Dan, I'm just thinking, though, back to those years of your life, because those are formative years. Like you said, year one of marriage. I mean, you probably had all of this vision that you were expecting for the future. Like you said, you're praying distinct prayers for God, you know what I mean, to heal, to do the miraculous, all these types of things. Like, what in the world? Life comes at you hard. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you have this deep grieving process that you're having to navigate while also publicly singing, and your life is on full display, and God is opening doors where you're also, you know, getting more notoriety and attraction. It's like, how did you find balance in the midst of that?
I'm not sure I did find balance. Yeah. I was riding a wave.
Wow.
And I tried to ride the wave as best as I could. There were moments I would, you know, have to call people and just get prayer because it just felt, it was very exhilarating, but at the same time, it felt unreal, and I was dealing with the grief. But I actually thank God for the challenge. You know, if I knew then what I knew now, I think the journey would have been a lot different, a lot easier. But it's part of those experiences that get you to the conclusions that you come to later in life.
Yeah.
You know, just like I teach my kids that all the time, the choices you make, make you. That's right. You know, what was it, the book Atomic Habits, where he said 1% change per day equals, it compounds to 37% change per year.
That's it.
If people are listening right now, they don't like where their life is, understand this, you have a choice in the matter. Learning that, I really treasure the fact that the Bible says, God says he puts life and death in front of you. You know, but he says this, choose life. I'm glad I chose life when I was on American Idol.
Yes.
You know, some of the choices that I didn't realize I was making got me here too, and I had to go undo and make better choices as I move forward.
Dan, you know, I'm just thinking of, in moments of powerlessness, those are often the places and spaces where God reveals the most about himself to us. And I was just thinking back, just actually this past weekend, my wife, she's been wanting flowers, Danny, in our front yard, in our mulch beds for quite some time. And so I was out there, and we were working for 6 to 8 hours, and I was digging holes, and I was replanting and pitching soil and all sorts of stuff, and my back was killing me, right? But it's funny, and this is where I'm going with the story of grace here for a moment. My neighbor is someone I highly respect and highly revere. Love him to death. His name is Dr. Jason Boehm, an incredible man. He is the dean of the School of Government at Liberty University, just a great leader. He's a Marine. So, I mean, this dude is like his yard. You can only imagine how immaculate his yard looks, right? Thing is always mowed, like almost scissor cut. It's beautiful. And what I started to do when he first moved in, I just, you know, out of the goodness of my heart, I was just like, hey, I'm going to mow his side yard too, because our yards are all connected. So I mowed it. The next week, he mowed mine. The next week, I mowed his. The next week, he mowed mine. We did that for several weeks. We exchanged this mowing. Well, over the last year, I'll be honest, I've been running really hard, and he always beats me to mow my yard. And I'll be real, on Saturday, as I'm planting these flowers, he is mowing my side of the yard. And I felt a little guilty. I felt kind of embarrassed. I felt kind of ashamed. I know this might be a silly example, but I went up to him. And I'm like, Jason, hey, and he takes off his headphones and super kind as always. And I'm like, hey, I promise you don't have to mow my yard. And he's like, no, I want to. I want to. And I'm like, okay, well, I promise you I'm going to get to mowing your yard soon. And I'll never forget what he said. He said this. He said, well, Zach, I'm not counting. Wow. And I start to think about just who the person of Jesus is in my life, when I felt guilt, when I felt those intrusive thoughts, when I've done stupid things and I go to God apologizing for the very thing that I told him time and time again I would stop doing or I would stop thinking. And it was like the voice of heaven spoke to me in that moment where Jesus says those same words, hey, Zach, hey, Danny, like, I'm not counting. I'm going to continue to show up for you. Speak to just what have you learned about God by going through some of the trials you've experienced?
you know, right off the bat, the word faithfulness came to mind, but I want to go deeper than that, just of these platitudes and these things we say. I've learned about his fathering, that how much investment he puts in choice. You know, the fact that he gives me, you know, because when I was a kid, and many people get stuck on this, if God was God, why does he allow this to happen? And they put all this ignorant blame on God, right? But the most loving thing that he could do was give us his ability to choose. And what about this suffering in Africa? Yeah, what about it? What did you do? Because God relinquished his powers to invite you in to be more like him, to be a representative. And so, you know, with my kids, one of the best things I can do is actually let them learn the lessons and not save them from the lessons. And that's what I've noticed about God. Has he saved me? Yes, he does. And he showed up when I've made the bad choice, like you said, when he forgave and he didn't count and he helped and he rescued. But the fact that he gives me all this wide open space and he gives me these principles that says, if you do it this way, man, you're going to have life and life more abundantly. And you're going to live a life you've never dreamed of. But then again, I won't force you to do it. I want you to do it. And when you do it, you'll see our relationship just thrive and grow. And you'll see the impact of how you people respect you and honor you and how you love them, you know, unconditionally, like he loves me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely it is. Like you said, sometimes God just teaches us how to let go, how to enter his presence with boldness, not with fear, not with shame, not with guilt, because of that never-ending supply, that scandalous grace that he always offers. Again, he doesn't count our wrongdoings. He just celebrates and welcomes us right back into his loving embrace. Danny, as we wrap up our conversation today, I just always want to close out this way, just with a pressing word that maybe God has placed on your heart for a listener today who maybe feels very discouraged and just disappointed. And to be honest with you, Danny, they not much has gone well in life for them through their perception here recently. And they're frustrated. Maybe they're angry at God. Maybe they're angry at someone. What's just a final word of hope about how to tell their heart to beat again, even when they haven't seen it yet? What's one final word of motivation that you want to leave with that audience member today?
That they hold the keys to the cell that they're living in, to the disappointment they're living in, that they can take the keys that God has given them, and they can set themselves free. I'm not saying they're God. Hear what I'm saying? Because you nailed it with the word perception. We oftentimes think what we see, how we see it, and what we believe about something is so 100% spot on. And I would challenge them to look at what how they see it, and question why they believe what they believe. Then go to the Word of God and say, well, if, you know, and how does God think about this? And I think about this right here. I'm going to pull this up because even if you don't even know where to start, you could pray this prayer. And look at this. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. You imagine that, having this view, the perception of the mom. You know, kids typically think what their parents think. So this mom gives Jabez this name of pain. You were born in pain. You were painful. You are a pain in the butt. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's what it would be like in modern day. But Jabez, most kids become like their parents, right? Most kids, they make the same mistakes. They repeat the patterns because that's all they see.
Yep.
You have nothing else to see. Yep. So it's like when Job, his perception was so wrong. When Job's friends, you sinned. No, I didn't. You sinned. No, I didn't. You sinned. And Job's like, curse the day. Where is God? Blah, 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 blah. Yep. And then in Job 38, God reveals himself. And the very after God takes Job and says, I'm going to ask you the questions. Job, his words were, I feel like nothing right now. What I just saw and I see you in, I know nothing. I was wrong. I should have kept my mouth shut. Right? Job, he was so bent on what he thought was the truth of what he was going through that God had to snap him out of it. But Jabez, going back to that, Jabez was kind of unique because he says Jabez called upon the God of Israel. And this takes boldness. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border. Remember the guy who all he did was live a life of pain. That's what people called him. His name meant pain. That you bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me. that you keep me from harm, that it might not bring me pain. He wanted to get away from pain because that's all he had. And the Bible says God granted him what he asked. I think of Job. I think of Jabez. And Job's perception was changed because he allowed God in to change his perspective. And because you can only heal. Listen, no one here is going through the pain that Job went. Nobody. I guarantee you nobody is. Yeah. Because you didn't lose all your possessions. You didn't lose every single kid that you loved and then get on a sick bed. All in one moment, right? And but he was able to heal from that because he took God's thoughts. He allowed God's thoughts and not his thoughts. And Jabez boldly prayed a prayer that that was his life, you know? That was, I mean, you could look through patterns. I know you guys work in the counseling industry. You can see how patterns fall so easily to the next generation.
Oh, yeah.
But Jabez decided to pray a bold prayer and walk it out. That you would bless, he had to believe that in the midst of his pain. And so all that to say is challenge the way you think about it. Look at Joseph. Joseph had to challenge the way he thought about, because Joseph could have gave up right away. The very first thing when Joseph is sold away from his family, what he could in that moment said, forget this. Forget the God of Israel, this great God. No, forget him.
Yeah.
And could have slept with Potiphar's wife when she gave him the chance and lived for himself. And you know what he did? He just stuck with God. He allowed the God thoughts to come in. That's how he stayed faithful. He always grew. Listen, he grew in his adversity. Think about that. You can grow in your adversity if you stick with God. What you think is supposed to break you down is the very thing that builds you up and builds your platform, like me going through death. And now I'm telling people's hearts to beat again. I'm just saying the God thoughts challenge how you think.
You know, I love this idea that, again, you hold the keys to the change that maybe you desire in this life. Again, not saying that we are God,
right,
but saying that we have a choice to present these things before God and allow him to do his immeasurable good works in and through us. And I love this idea too of when families tend to reproduce themselves, that's what we find in these generational patterns. What's run, and I remember sitting across from a guy years ago who he was coming in and telling me all the generational sin, the generational pattern that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Now it's his generation and he's moving potentially and passing it on to the next, and it wasn't good things. And I just looked at him and I felt like the Holy Spirit reminded me and wanted me to remind him of this truth that what's run in your family, I hope what's run in your family runs right into you. I hope, right, the generational sin of addiction or divorce or these negative intrusive thoughts, I hope what runs in your family runs smack into you, because you always have the choice. Danny Gokey, my friend, Hope Nights Tour. Obviously, We Are Messengers, John Reddick. Where can our audience go to find out more and hopefully to join you on one of these locations?
Go to DannyGokey.com. You can get all the dates. Even after that tour, I got a bunch of dates coming up, and so we'd love to see you guys on these dates. We'd love to worship with you.
Danny, I cannot wait to see what God does in and through you tonight. I know these women are hungry. They're excited. Yeah. They're going to be dancing because I know you like to move on that stage.
We like to move.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.